will you do roll call, please?
Yes, ma'am. Mayor Martin?
Here.
Alderman Bryant?
Here.
Alderman Tolbert?
Here.
Alderman Clark?
Here.
Alderman Schultz?
Here.
You have a quorum.
Council to approve the consent agenda, council meeting minutes for April 24th, 2025, and special call minutes for May 5th, 2025. Court report for the month of April, court receipts total $1,902. Fire department minutes for the month of April, fire expense totals $360, and then the April financial report. Do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion.
A second? Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Council to approve the bills paid and to be paid for May.
Okay. Motion.
Okay.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Mr. Cliff Williams to discuss overall wellness with the council. Mr. Williams, how are you?
I'm doing great. How about you guys?
Doing good.
Awesome. So I don't know, should I like stand over here? Does it matter?
You're welcome to stand right there.
Yeah, so my name's Cliff Williams. I moved over into the area, actually, in the Manitou Spring, Arkansas, a year and a half ago, two years ago. And I wanted to do a little bit of research before I moved out into the area. And I found lots of great things, like things, important things, like the amount of sunlight that you can get. Different areas in the country, you actually get different amounts of sunlight. And sunlight, you get vitamin D, which is really good for you. And so I've seen that there was a lower crime rate in this area versus other areas and different things like that. But one thing that was a little startling for me was in the Mammoth Spring area anyway, was the mortality rate. It was actually higher than a lot of other areas, and I was kind of interested in finding out why. Nonetheless, I decided to move out here anyway, and fortunately I'm still alive, so that's great. But the thing is that as I was doing my research to kind of understand what exactly was going on, I find that nutrition is a huge part of the problem. And so I set up a nonprofit organization, and I went into the community fair, Mammoth Spring Facebook page, and I started asking people about better utilizing the community garden over here by the church off the highway. And so we've gotten access to 12 plots, 10 plots. We've planted a lot of food there, which is all great. The thing is that I'd like to get a chance to be able to help educate people on how important nutrition is and how it can actually resolve a lot of problems that we are actually currently taking medications for. And the medications have side effects, and the side effects from those medications have additional side effects, and I'd really like people to be able to consider these things. Nonetheless, I understand that there is some economical issues in the area and other things like that, and I did notice that there is a very large amount of land, I was told, has to do with an industrial park that never really got off the ground. I don't know what you guys are planning on doing with it now, but the thing about it is I realized something. You can go ahead and purchase a packet of seeds for $2, and you can get an abundance of food from it regularly. And not only that, but you can actually get animals to multiply really easily. It's really interesting. And so I was thinking, if possible, if you guys had the ability to be able to allow us to use a portion of some of the land that's out there to be able to work with animals. There's a whole lot of information that I'd love to share. I know that there's not very much time,
right.
But nonetheless, this is, if we did have animals and other things like that, we could produce them and we could actually gain income by selling them for, you know, a good price and things like that. And so
you could write up a proposal for us of basically what you feel like you need and what kind of things you're interested in doing and bring us a proposal, then we can talk about it and see what the council...
I love what, it as a way.
Yeah, yeah. That way, you know, we don't ever have a whole lot of time at these meetings, mm-hmm. but I appreciate that you have come. And if you'll write something up, I know there's a lot of people that are interested in gardens and in you know, beef and different things. And so we just kind of would need to know what you were looking at in that aspect for us to be able to know if we can help.
Okay.
Education into that, we are planning to do some town hall meetings, and it'll be an awesome opportunity to come in and spend 5 or 10 minutes talking to people, maybe setting up something more to better educate.
That sounds great.
That seems like a really good
plan. I'll find out when those are.
Yeah, we've got to get them on the agenda, and we're planning on doing that soon.
Not on the books yet, but we're so close.
Okay, that sounds great.
Well, I really appreciate you talking to us, and we look forward to seeing a proposal from you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. O'Neill. Fred O'Neill to address rezoning 304 Caroline Street.
Yes. Kim and I purchased the house that Bill and Carlene Williams used to live in at 304 Caroline. The purpose we bought it for was Kim's got a business that she started, Mill Creek Supportive Care. She already has about 25 employees. She's been operating out of the business location there at REMAX with Alex, but growing pains, got to get a bigger place. And so we bought that with the intentions of turning it into administrative offices. Our intention is to run an ad in the paper this coming month for the next council meeting for a vote on it, but under the rules, you know, we need to bring it to the council's attention at this point and see if he will allow us to go forward with that.
We will have to have the rezoning hearing, and the way that we usually do that will be before the next regular council meeting. We'll start the meeting early, and people can come in and speak to it and how they feel about it. So what we need is a motion from one of the aldermen to allow us to go forward with the rezoning meeting. That's all right. And then we'll need a second.
No second.
Okay. And then all in favor?
Aye.
So we'll do it at the next, Brent, what's the date, hon? Next regular council meeting?
Oh, I am.
It's June. Second Tuesday of June is the 10th.
It's the 10th.
It's the 10th.
Yes.
Mr. O'Neill, you know that has to be posted in the paper 15 days in advance.
Yes. And it'd be the 10th?
Yes.
What time would that be?
6:30.
Normally,
6:30.
Very good.
Yeah.
We'll have it done.
Pardon me?
We'll have it done. We'll have
That'll
it.
Be great.
All right. That's all the business if I have, if I may be excused.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
It's 304.
Oh, yes. That's where you know where Bill and Carlene live. It's a residential neighborhood already.
Oh, I know.
So, REMAX is over here at the church. It's REMAX. It's directly across from the church. So, there is a good excuse that there's a one. Yeah, it's a great
new business. Council to discuss adopting the new Murma Police Department policies. Mr. Childers, would you like to speak to that, sir?
That is Murma's recommendations for the changes to the police policies. I emailed that to you, right?
Yeah, we've got it in our phone. Okay. Yeah.
That is something that they want passed by the first of the year.
Okay.
But they want it passed sooner, if you will. But what they want is you to read them over and compare them to what you have and see if there's any corrections you want. If they do, then we got to contact Murma, and they got to come down and look at it.
So it needs to match our ordinances.
Well, this is completely different. And there's really nothing wrong. This is the policy, which we go by the policy that Murma has now for the police department. So this is just a change in their policy. Like before, they had a no pursuit policy.
Right.
That's changed.
I saw that.
Okay. So everything is a little different. It's nothing major. You can read through it and see if you like it, but we really need to if we do want to change anything, we have to let them know before we change it.
I would like to explain to everyone that MIRMA is Missouri Intergovernmental Risk Management Association. That's who the city has their insurance with. That's who takes care of our liability, casualty, and all of that kind of thing. So the police department has to train with them very often, and they come and on-site check things, and so they've got a new policy that they want us to look into.
The five of them? The five or six?
Yeah, there was...
And we've done this all along. It's just that these are changes that they've made. So everybody that's under their coverage has adopted these policies. So that's
so
just up to
you.
What, sir?
No, that
was the old policy. This one has changed. That's the reason I emailed them to you, so you guys can look them over. And we don't have to pass them tonight.
There's a lot of reason to do.
Everything in there that I've read, what the changes they made, all look good. But y'all need to read them and see.
Can I make a motion to postpone that until the next meeting?
Yes.
Everything's time to be.
Yeah, that would be great. Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Chief Childers to discuss the purchase of old police rifles. Okay. Sir, would you like to elaborate on that for us?
Well, what I was going to request is the police department has replaced their old rifles, and we bought new rifles, and I was requesting to see if we could sell them to the officers. But with the changes in the conflict interest, I think we should wait until that's done.
So I'll make a motion to postpone it.
Second.
Appreciate it, Chief.
Uh-huh.
Who was the second?
What was me?
Mark. Stephen was.
He was my
major. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Council discussed replacing the lift station at Warm Fork Park that got destroyed by the flood. Warm Fork Park was completely wiped out. We lost everything down there. And so there's a large lift station, and Brent's going to explain to us a little bit more about that and the cost of replacing that.
So the control panel for the lift station is laying on the ground right now, and there's a SCADA panel attached to it. And all of that is complete. I mean, it was under 5 feet of water at one time, or more, you know, probably way more. But, So right now, Mike had these two companies, they do the lift stations and the SCADA panels now, and they submitted these bids. Now, on the SCADA panel, which is the second bid of this, it fluctuates from $1,500 to $7,000. If we can coordinate that with the other SCADA panel that needs to be installed, it'll be the cheaper side of it, so that will go down almost $5,500. And then... So we'll have to have bond reserve money to cover this cost, but Matt, the EMA fire chief and the EMA director, and I are working with SCOCOG, with FEMA and SEMA to see what funds they are. Kehoe did apply for those earlier this month, about a week and a half ago, so it's all still kind of waiting. So that's what this is about. But we got to get that lift station up and going.
Where's
again.
The lift station at? Is it underneath the...
Right when you go past the... Yeah, it's right... Right beside the restroom, it's a okay. little bit back this way. But right when you go underneath the bridge, there's a steel and concrete thing that's laying on the ground right there.
Are they going to rebuild it differently?
Well,
maybe it's more because it floods. This was a big flood, but it always floods.
The problem is your lift stations really need to be on your lowest side so they boost it up.
The SCADA thing.
The SCADA is just attached to it, you know. That has to be attached to it so it sends the signals out.
If you see the. You can see where we got a temporary hooked up to the rest.
Yes.
Oh, I haven't been down there since right after.
Yeah.
Okay.
If we can get a motion in a second, we can have some more discussion.
Motion.
Okay.
Discuss.
Mm-hmm. And we have a second for discussion. We need a little more discussion. Okay. I asked the gentleman to give us a motion for discussion so we could discuss this a little bit more. We found out early in the meeting tonight, we were sitting here, when I was your city clerk, one SCADA panel controlled all the lift stations on the wells in the city. And now they put a SCADA panel on each lift station because that way it can communicate with our wastewater treatment plant supervisor when something goes wrong with that lift station. So there can be immediate response. So that's why the lift station and the SCADA panel are both needed.
Can shut down one instead of shutting down all.
Yes.
Right.
Yes,
right.
And it better monitors the whole system. Who seconded that motion for discussion? I'm sorry.
I did.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Dirk.
Again, it's been 30 seconds.
Yeah. Also, Brent, can we tell them about the big
motors?
Truck that's coming to pick up the bathroom?
Oh, yes. So on, there's a crane at Hirsch's right now, a relatively large one. And on May 28th, they're scheduled to come and lift the conservation bathroom that's also on its side down there. Everything seems to be good, so we can just replace that on there. Conservation said it the first time. We don't have equipment big enough, that crane. The railroad has even asked if their excavators could lift that, and they did not think it would be possible.
What did they tell us? It's 20,000 pounds?
20,000 to 30,000
pounds. 20,000 to 30,000 pounds for that little bathroom.
Are they going to set it right back
up? They're going to set it right back up on it, yeah. There
doesn't. Got a fee in mind? Is that what you're going to tell us?
It's a $1,500 setup fee and $400 an hour with a four-hour minimum.
Which was much better than I thought it would be.
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
And there was no travel fee because it's already in town.
So we're at $3,100.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It won't take them 4 hours.
No. Yeah.
Okay, was there any more discussion or questions about this situation?
So on the SCADA, on the is that this?
It's on, it's tab 7, but
okay.
It's, you got to go past the first four pages and go back to the second bid, and it's all the way in the back for some reason, but it says, the SCADA control panel itself is $14,684. And then there's an on-site equipment and engineering services that ranges from $1,500 to $7,000. And they go ahead and put the higher number up just so something happens, they'll charge that. But it's $21,684, but it could be $16,384.
And so the total amount that we're expecting if we have to spend all
the total amount if we have to spend all of it would be $21,684. And they'll bill us, you know, again. So
I'm going to. Is there any expectation of getting anything on the front end of this?
There's no front end. It's all reimbursed. So.
So we got to do it either way.
Yes, we'll have to do. We have to do it. It's just basically the motion would be to take the funds out of bond reserve, pay for it, and then we're actively trying to get the funds back.
Hoping that FEMA and
yes.
FEMA will kick in.
Because I don't feel like we have an option to make that motion.
Well, how many houses does this affect?
The whole north side.
North side.
Yeah, okay. Especially like Barton Hill, all that.
Okay.
It all goes
yeah,
there.
Yeah, that kind of makes it, you know,
yeah,
there's no way other. You got
to do it. Yeah, you have to do it.
So Mr. Clark made a motion that we take the funds from the bond reserve.
I'll second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Council to discuss the old bridge behind Cover Lumber Company.
I don't have any street guys here. I was really hoping they would be here.
Yeah.
But from what we understand is the railroad would like to see that bridge eliminated as well.
They use that thing a lot. They're always down there picking up people. They're always down. I just think that's odd.
Over here behind Covers?
Yeah, they always pick up. Always see the Fruit Express grids picking up because they walk across there. I know they'll find another way.
Yeah.
It's funny that they use it a lot. And they're the ones who want it down.
I'm not sure, but the railroad did state that they wanted it down. Now, that bridge during the flood also became kind of a natural choke point, a dam, and it made water go outwards instead of flowing through. It's just something that they wanted to bring to y'all's attention.
Are they going to tear it down?
I don't know that yet. So what we would need to do is kind of get an idea of what kind of plan if we want to keep it, we don't have to do much, but if we want to take it down, we need to look into what that will take and if the railroad would be willing to help on that.
Mrs. Jewell is here, and she
yes.
didn't get a chance to get on the agenda, but she lives right by that bridge, and she had wanted to say something.
Yes. I mean, Mr. Schultz talked to me a little bit, and I understand his point of view. That bridge is a historical thing, but it also poses the issue because it that when we do have floods, right now there's a big old tree laying across there. Where if we had water come up again, it's going to make the water flood again. So we'd like to see it removed. Not only that, but that might help with the engine noise in our neighborhood because they're not going to park them there because they won't be able to walk across
that
bridge.
Right.
That gets to be
a point.
Pain.
Does that bridge service anything at this point?
Huh?
That's what she said.
Does that bridge service anything else?
No, it's completely barricaded off on the
park. Yeah, it's barricaded off.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But it was the first bridge, if you follow Thayer history, Wyandotte used to be 63, and that used to be the only way to Thayer. Mm-hmm. And I just think that's cool, but I hate to see it go, but she's got a good point. Even the small floods, it blocks and it floods their yard every time because the brush comes down and blocks it.
Also, they used to, the railroad and the city somehow worked together, and they would keep Two Mile Creek cleaned out from the viaduct down to Warm Fork, and that helped a lot too. But I've noticed that the railroad has dumped a lot of gravel towards my house. And I'm not quite sure if I understood right, but they said it's for the railroad vans to drive up to down to pick up the people. Now, I don't know how that's how.
You think it's going to steer the water towards
your
house?
Yeah, it would steer the water more towards our house, too.
I asked the railroad about them taking it out and cleaning it up the creek.
Well, what they're doing, they're putting a right-of-way on the side of the railroad tracks so the vans can get to where the engine is so the railroad workers don't have to walk 3 miles to get to an intersection.
They've done one on the Front Street side. I saw that. Are they going to do it on both sides? Is that what they want
to
do?
Because they shouldn't have to. They should just have
it's
to
on,
on the
one
side.
On the Front Street side, they put the big rock.
Well, they got it. They can drive on it now, and they couldn't before.
Yeah.
Behind
well,
the old station.
Not big stuff, but smaller stuff towards my house, to where if it did flood, it just pushed that water over towards our little subdivision.
It won't hurt the railroad tracks because that's all they're worried about, right?
Mm-hmm. And they're not thinking about us.
I hear that.
Miss Ruth, thank you for talking with us. And I think one of the debates was who actually owns the bridge there or the railroad, and I believe that's our bridge.
It's our bridge.
Mr. Clark made a good point. We could ask the railroad if they want to take it out. The chances are they're going to want us to handle the charges for that.
Can I say something?
Yes, sir. It's Mr. Henry Joel.
I'm going to say something, but I still don't want the old bridge to go. And it's got a lot of years behind it. And the only reason the railroad will tear it down is to benefit them. And the reason we're having the flooding now is because they have piled so much gravel along that railroad up through there, it keeps pushing that 2 mile creek right over our way.
Right.
So what they need to do first is clean up their old backyard.
How long have you lived there, Henry?
Huh?
How long have you lived there?
Almost 50 years.
So you've seen it getting worse and worse?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we need to start by requesting they clean their mess up.
Yes, ma'am. You know, old ties, railroad ties, towed over the bank into the river. Anytime you want to come up, I'll be glad to show you.
Okay. I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
If you look at it, it's still in the
I agree with you on that one.
Yeah, because we don't want to put it.
I mean, it's really not good for anything, but at the same point, it's not bothering us.
Right.
So can we have a motion that we make an appointment to meet with the railroad and talk with them about cleaning things up? And,
yes.
Yeah. Somebody have a motion.
I'll make a motion for that.
I'll second
that. 2 seconds and numbers.
2 seconds and numbers.
Yeah.
Thank you very much for coming, and we will talk to them, see what we can get done.
All in favor.
All in favor. Thank you.
Aye.
Council to discuss or pass a new conflict of interest ordinance.
I want a motion to table that, or postpone that until the next meeting.
Okay. I have a motion.
I'm sorry, is that?
Yeah, that's what.
Postpone.
Let me explain a little bit so everybody doesn't wonder what we're doing. In the last meeting, we were talking about some ordinances that needed to be changed because of my relationship to the assistant chief of police. He is my son. And so we thought what we needed to do was change the conflict of interest, but after research and talking to Municipal League again, and several of us up here will tell you, we've had several different attorneys' opinions, and they don't all match. So I found out today which ordinance we actually need to change, and so there's copies of that. Brent has them there at the table. One is the ordinance, and what needs to be changed on it is italicized, and one is the ordinance the way it would be. So what we actually need to do is just discuss that, and we'll have to pass that ordinance at the next meeting because we didn't have it out here on the paper for you properly. The city attorney had drawn us up a new conflict of interest ordinance, but at this time we feel like it would be better to postpone that.
I would like to modify.
Okay.
I would like to make a motion that we leave the conflict of interest ordinance alone.
Okay. Just leave it as
it is.
If you look at the city's ordinances, section 120 is our current conflict of interest ordinance, and the council would really like to see it stay the same. So the motion's been changed to leave our conflict of interest ordinance as it is, and then
discuss about 147.
We'll discuss about ordinance number 147 in the next meeting and be able to pass that in. Is that good with everybody?
Need a second.
Yeah. Need a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you. Council?
Mayor?
Yes.
I do apologize.
It's okay, Mr. Edward. You stand up, please. I can't hear you very good.
The amendment is what we're going is what you're going to discuss to go towards. Is that correct?
Yes.
Can you help me understand what the regardless of the administrative department, what that removing that verbiage and how that rectifies it?
Yeah, Municipal League. When I talked to Stuart, we were talking about what was confusing to folks is that is an elected official an employee or not an employee. And when you read the word administrative, that immediately points to elected officials, which makes it confusing when they're saying that an elected official is not an employee. So he felt like that language needed to be removed. And then add at the bottom, you know, the rest of that revised Missouri stat number 79. I'm sorry, I can't read it. But there's also what he based a lot of this on was the Attorney General's opinion. And so that is another part of it. And then I was showing Mr. Clark up here, we have, we've just got all kinds of wonderful paperwork here. Article number 6, Section 6 of Missouri Constitution talks about the nepotism law. And one of the things in that law says that since Luke was in office when I was elected, that nepotism law does not apply. And so all of these different things together, he felt like if we would change this ordinance, then we would not be in conflict. Because someday when I leave, someone else may come along that has someone working in city service that's an alderman or a mayor. And so he felt like that, you know, amending this ordinance would take care of that problem. So that's what's brought us to here. So hopefully we'll be able to amend that at the next meeting if all are in favor. Thank you.
Ms. Mayor.
Yes.
Rick Toomey.
Hey, Mr. Toomey.
How are y'all?
Good. How are you, sir?
I'd like to ask if we can hear Mark well, you, Dirk, but Mr. Clark.
Oh,
you can't hear him. He's just kind of mumbling along.
Okay. Well, I apologize.
Yeah, if you're going to handle business, we'd like to hear
you. I understand. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Childers. Would you like to handle the dog ordinance? I mean, you're doing great so far. You've done wonderful, and you're better at explaining the dog ordinance than I am.
I expect a song and dance when you're done.
Huh?
I expect a song and dance when you're done.
I'm getting ready to pass the buck. No. We've had some, the judge brought up some questions on some of the ordinances we had over dogs. And so we had a meeting last week, last Wednesday, I believe, with the judge. Me and a couple officers, and Justin, and he was requested to rewrite the ordinances. And he did that, and I don't know if you guys got a copy of that?
Yes, it's in the it's tab 10 of your...
And Justin maybe will explain a little bit more, but let me grab mine.
For a little clarification, Chief, can I explain to him our old dog ordinance allowed two dogs per household in the city limits. If you had more than two, you had to come before council and request a kennel license. Is that correct?
Yes.
So that kind of gets you up to speed where the old ordinance is.
That's part of it. The other part was, on the changes anyway, it kind of... The 205090.
Talk about that vicious thing.
Yeah. What it does is it actually takes away, it gives us more teeth. But right now, we have an ordinance that is nothing more than administrative, and it has no punishment. So we have a dog bites person, but it has no punishment. We have to write a vicious dog to be able to do for a dog bites person. Whereas all this changes it over to where it goes to a vicious animal and a nuisance dog. We can write everything pretty much under nuisance. And then when vicious comes along, it can be added to. But this is actually a lot better ordinances than what we have. The thing is, it changes everyone we have.
It changes all of us. The other thing about this ordinance, we have a couple of licensed kennels in the city limits that do services such as grooming dogs and that kind of thing, and they're excellent business, so we want to be sure that the commercial kennels are safe in that respect.
And I don't know that if you're talking about the grooming business up there, I don't know that that's actually a kennel.
Right.
Because it is a business. A kennel, and I think what Justin has referenced to a kennel, is where you have they're breeding dogs.
Okay.
They have 95 dogs at one time breeding dogs. That's what's not allowed in the city.
Okay. Well, when I saw that last little bit there, it says no person shall own, operate, or maintain a dog kennel within the corporate limits
right.
of the city. So I wanted to be sure that we clarified that.
And if I'm understanding that right, it's the dog kennel is the breeding dogs in the city.
Do we need to put a definition in this?
Do I know?
Do we need to put a definition in this?
Justin?
Yeah, that would probably be, probably be a good idea, I would say. I mean, what's that lady's name? I'm drawing a blank. First name is Cindy.
Miss Cindy Albritton. She's here with us.
Yeah, thank you. I wasn't thinking about necessarily her business, but I mean, in my mind, it wouldn't really fall as a kennel because I don't think she really operates a breeding business. We can clarify that 205.110 just to say that kennel would be referring to the breeding for commercial purposes of dogs, etc., something along those lines.
That might be good because it's always been a point of contention with mm-hmm. the other kennel licenses.
Right.
People thought, well, I'm not breeding dogs.
The other thing I want to know is what do you do when someone is violating, say they have 11 or 12 dogs? So how are you going to rectify that?
And that we would have to go back underneath 205.045, maximum number allowed. It's a nuisance. Where we'll have to go to. They will be allowed up to four. And in this, we've never had anything for cats. In this, we do, where it has four canines, dogs or cats.
So two cats and two dogs?
Four total.
Total?
Total. Mm-hmm.
Okay. How about a bird?
You don't say anything about birds. You ever got ducks?
It does say per household.
Yes. Yes.
Not per people. So if you've got six people, they can't have six dogs.
No. And that has been a problem in the past.
Yeah. Right. It's only two dogs, but if they have more than two, they get a kennel license, and I think that's where you're running into.
That's where we have a problem. Because, we have one right now that has 11 or 12 dogs.
This replaces our kennel license?
Do what?
This replaces the old kennel license?
Yes.
So there'd be no more kennel license?
Nope, that would be all null and void.
Yep.
Okay. And this, too, is something that y'all need to look at and discuss and read over your old ordinances, look at it, see if you think it's good to go. And then we probably have need to have a hearing on this, too, to pass it.
Can we? Yes.
Yeah, Miss Cindy.
Does that mean I don't have to get a kennel license anymore? I don't care one way or another because I'm not going to breed dogs. I just babysit them.
Right. And the way I look at it, she wouldn't have to.
Right. If this ordinance, you know, we pass this, then that makes all the kennel license null and void.
The only thing she would have to have is a business license.
It doesn't matter one way or another. I've been getting
right.
Them since I opened.
Right. You would just need your business license.
Okay. Got that.
Okay, so I guess if we're going to have to do a hearing on this one, can we do it? Do we have to do a separate hearing for these? Or can we do it in conjunction with the...
We can do it in conjunction with the other meetings.
Yes. Okay, well, let's...
Give us time to study it.
Then the motion would be to postpone this setup for the hearing. And we'll vote on that side.
Yes.
And that'll give us time to define kennel the third one.
Right.
Justin, did you do that?
Yes. Yeah, we'll have to get Justin.
Alderman Bryant seconded it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
This one should be easy, right?
Yeah, it's pretty
okay.
Easy.
Council to discuss painting a brush truck that was donated by the Forestry Department.
You can vote on what color?
Can we go with heavy colors?
So tell us about this truck the Forestry Department donated.
They gave it to us. So, I mean, truck is free.
Awesome.
So we got quotes on painting. White will be the cheapest. Thing is, like, you get it from the Forestry Conservation. That's just one of the requirements. You have to paint it. So there's no way around painting it. We can shop around on that however we want to. But the quote I got was $1,000. It's got one dent in the door, and that includes fixing the dent, too.
And it's going to be white?
It'll be white. A rescue truck.
More red.
Because red costs more money.
How much more?
A couple $100.
Huh?
A couple $100.
Yeah.
You like red best, or?
I like red.
Our rescue truck now is white, so I thought this is going to be on the city side that would keep everything. It doesn't really matter. I mean, if you guys want to spend more money, be my guest.
Whatever you want.
Who's your bid?
It's a guy up in West Plains. So... I can't remember his name.
Where's that? Is it across from Dairy Queen here?
It'll be one of the guys up there at the... Where's Mitchell Park?
We don't have anybody local that's doing that kind of business right now?
Well, we got one, but their bid was at $2,000 for white, $2,500 in red. Okay. West Plains, and that'd be fixing the dent. This here would be $1,000. So
they don't have a lot of $2,500, but if someone did it for $1,000...
So I just get on the brush and get scratched, right?
Right.
So I don't have to
have it. If it was up to me, I wouldn't paint it anyway, to be honest with you. But that's part of the program. You've got to do it.
So we got
$1,000 on the truck.
That's a pretty good deal for a truck.
It's a good truck. It's a good shape.
Change the oil, all that. I mean, it runs real good. So I think it's going to be a good truck. We got 6 months to get it in service. So
Chevrolet?
Hey, Lord. Is our red brush truck still working though? We still have.
That's on the rule. The city don't own any brush trucks.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. Yeah.
So we're not giving anything up. We're just adding to.
Okay.
And after a year, we'll get the titles on that free and clear.
So I'd like to make a motion to go ahead and get that sucker painted in service.
Yeah, let's hurry before he changes that.
Right.
That quote.
Is that a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Yes, we need a motion to go into closed session, please.
I'll make a motion to go into closed
session.